Welcome to your second day of the Sacred Space retreat. I would love to introduce my discovery lecture this morning with a little contemplation on what we are trying to do during this retreat. There is a famous poem, a poet called Rumi, who describes something about his relationship to the Lord in a very interesting way. He says, "I was a black ant on a black stone in a black night in a dark universe, but still you found me." A black ant on a black stone in a black night in a dark universe, but still, my Lord, you found me. It's beautiful, Adishes, isn't it? And really, for me, to talk to you about the sacred space and the Lord who's inside that space has a lot to do with this poem which I once received a few years ago. See, I will now request you to think a little bit philosophically. See, we are at the present moment just so much in our own little world. And the world of God is just so different. It is so full with unconditioned love, an experience which is not so easy for us to have. The Lord is so great, so omniscient, so all-powerful, and we are so small and so just limited in various ways, that the Greek philosophy of the macro and microcosmos very much applies to us. You can say there is a macrocosmos, the world of Mahavishnu who breathes out, and as he breathes out, universes come into being. How big? How macro? Macro means big. And then there is the microcosmos, you know, the world of the atom, where in one small particle, so many other particles are. And how different are these worlds? The macrocosmos and the microcosmos. So taking this a little bit further, this thought, you can say there is Krishna in his own world. Ooh, so big, so not big, so sweet, so loving, so inconceivable. And here are we in our temporary bodies with our minds who want to expand and know more, but who are limited. What a difference between the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, where every step is a dance and where everything is conscious, where the stones talk to each other, or the grains of sand talk to each other. And here our dull world, you know, it is different. So how can we expect that we know something of this big world? How will it fit into our little ant-like brains? Will it fit into our small hearts? How will this happen? It's like our question, or not our question, the question of Akrura. He says, how can a being like me ever hope to meet the Lord? And then Nakula says, it is possible. It is possible. So how is it possible? It is called, it is possible, now I will talk a little difficult, by the mesocosmic incarnation. Now I know all of, there's some of you are really esoteric and who like these esoteric names, mesocosmic, but that's a new word, meso, what is meso? Is it like miso soup? No, it's not. Some intermediate medium is necessary. In Deutsch, ein Vermittler ist nötig. Ein Vermittler. Huh? Something which where the Lord comes from this huge, inconceivable world and makes himself known to the beings, to us in this small and limited world. That is necessary. You know, in the mesocosmic plane in astrophysics is, you know, there is the universe out there, and here's our planet, and the universe is quite a different temperature, a different atmosphere, but there is a little zone, it's called the mesocosmic zone, around the planet, where the sun rays are somehow entering our atmosphere and become digestible or usable by the plants who use it to make chlorophyll and these carbon dioxide and so on. So there is a zone is there through, you know, an in-between zone between the cold universe and our planet Earth, which has a certain temperature which is necessary for life to exist. Something, you know, something which is not exactly, let me say, something which is a middler, which is in between. Something which translates things into our world. So Krishna also comes in forms to us, which we, with our limited sensory apparatus, our unser begrenzter Sinnapparat, which we can perceive and which can touch our hearts. And these forms are, you know, where the divine, where the Lord agrees to come into our world. One of these forms is the sadhu, or we can better say the heart of the sadhu, which we said yesterday. The Lord says, Sarunam Hridayam Tvaham, I'm always there, I'm there, that's my address. I live in the heart of the devotees. And when you meet a real devotee, who thinks of Krishna, who loves Krishna, then somehow you also feel something of Krishna in your life. Krishna comes in this way. Today we will talk about any idea? Holy name, you know everything. The holy name. The holy name, you know, we are sitting here in a universe which is lit up by a lamp called the sun, and we are here, you know, a few seconds away from our next body, if you stretch the time a little bit. We are here, residents of planet Earth, and the Lord has come. He has come to us. He has found us here in the form of the holy name. We sit here and we come a little, wie sagt man, a little gut ausgeschlafen, hopefully. We come and we sit down here and we chant. We try to chant. We are trying to chant at this stage of our life. We are practicing devotees. Huh? We try to do it. We try to bring our mind away from the world, the small little ant world in which we live, the world of our desires, which we have for a few moments and then they're gone. You know, we sit here and we try to chant, and all of a sudden we feel, something has happened to us. The door has opened for a little moment, and we can feel for a little moment Krishna. And we can feel that calling in our life. Really, this is the best. And I really only want this. Even if I sometimes appear to want other things, this is really what I want. Huh? And something has happened. By these mesocosmic forms of the Lord, the forms of the Lord, which although we are so small and although we are limited in various ways, have come and genuinely appeared in our heart to touch us and to call us and to strengthen us on our own little way. This is why I'm convinced that when Srila Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami say that someone who has even a little, the English word Prabhupada uses is a slight, ein klitzekleinen, sagt man in Deutsch, a contact with one of these five powerful forms of the Lord. Today is the name. Huh? Devotional ecstasies can awaken in the heart of even a beginner. Even a beginner, or Prabhupada uses the word neophyte. And Rupa Goswami, this is a translation of Rupa Goswami's promise to us in his work, The Ocean of Nectar, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami tells us that just a little contact with these is sufficient to awaken two things in us, love and the object of love, that is Krishna. That's the miracle of these forms of Krishna. And that's that. If we just learn to do this properly, you know, to make proper contact, then it's good. Vaishnava Prabhu gave me yesterday one of his well-written books and a letter, and what I liked very much, Prabhu has discovered a method which he preaches really to many people who are spiritually or even, you could say, esoterically interested. It's an old method of really connecting with people and experiencing in this connection really a divine presence, a divine energy, which just takes care to remove the misconceptions. He will be able to explain it better, but that's how, as far as I can at the moment understand. But I'm very much thinking these days about this one thing. You know, we all communicate constantly. We send out signals to the world and we receive signals from the world. We communicate with nature. When you go through the forest and sing, or you walk, you move the air before you and you breathe the air from which has been granted to you by the trees. Then you are in constant communication with the universe. But do we connect? We are often so unconscious in our communications. We say hello, goodbye, and a few words in between. But is it really that we connect soul to soul? So in these seminars or retreats, I know that what I talk is some of it, I know not all of it, but some of it is known to some of the older people who practice this sadhana for a little time already. But I am asking you a question which I had to ask myself. Do you connect? Are you really connected with Krishna? Is it really, is there a flow of energy going from your side to him and from him to you? That is what I mean with connection. We live in a small ashram in Berlin now. This is the smallest temple in which I ever was. And I think it's interesting. We have only 4 members. We are not on any map, of any ashram map, and we also don't want to be on any map. Because, and we begin to understand, we are now really trying to connect to each other in the sense that there is really a deep connection, and we feel an enormous strength from this. It is a very much in gladdening. And it encourages us to also try to connect to Krishna, And the communication and connection is something else. So now, today, we will talk on connecting to the holy name. And I would request you to join me in singing this verse here. Oops, sorry. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. O na shodho nitya mukto, binatman namana minoho, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare,
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama Hare Rama,
Hare Rama Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare Hare, Padma Purana is an ecstasy, while this glorious Shastra glorifies the holy name. It says, the holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. This name bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Sri Krishna himself, the ocean of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete in himself and is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition. And it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is never contaminated by the material qualities. There is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and always spiritual. It is never, ever conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaubhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There was once a king, and in his kingdom lived a rebellious beggar. And this beggar would constantly spread rumors about the wrongdoings of the king, and was very, very much opposed to the king. He said, the king exploits others. He lives on our own work. And he tried to infect others with his ideas. Some ministers advised the king that kill this beggar. He's about to make a grand revolution against you. But the king felt compassion for the beggar and one day decided to help him. He dressed in the dress of another beggar. He grew a beard, and in the dark night of the new moon he went to where the beggar lived, a little hut somewhere in some corners of his town. And he told, and he said to the beggar, he woke him up, and he said, I found a nice meal. I thought I'd give you a nice meal. And the beggar was hungry. Thank you very much. And he ate. And this king came every night to the beggar. And one day he said, let's go into the palace of that king and steal gold from him for the revolution. Oh, yes. Do you know the entrance? I know the secret entrance, said the other beggar, alias the king. Oh, I think you turn it around. The beggar, another king, alias the beggar. So he took him through the secret entrance into the palace. He showed him the palace gardens. And he then said, here is the place where the king gives everyday charity. And he showed him to the charity place of the palace where everyone could come and get anything they wanted from the king if they just would come. And then he showed him the different the beggar, the other beggar, the bad beggar, you could say. Really, he gives charity to anyone who comes and asks him. And this, the king who was disguised showed him a few things of the palace which totally turned the understanding of the bad beggar around. And finally he brought him into the thronsaal, the hall where the royal throne was. And he said, just wait for a moment. And then the beggar, then the king went into the room, changed into his royal garments, and came out and sat on the throne before the bad beggar. And the beggar asked, why did you do this? Why did you come to me all those nights and fed me? Why did you bring medicine for my wounds? Why did you bring me into the palace and showed me how you rule? You knew I wanted to kill you. And the king said, because I love you. I love those subjects, my subjects. I only do this for the great king, for God. I rule this country trying to give everyone an opportunity. I'm trying to give everyone an opportunity. I'm trying. Please, you could help me if you want. And the bad beggar became a good servant. This is a story which is told in Radhakund. Someone chanted, told me this story. And said, this is in one of the scriptures, a story as an illustration of the holy name. The holy name is Krishna himself, who comes to us, rebellious souls who don't want to serve Krishna, but want to serve our separate interests. No? And he comes, and his whole intention is to show us the reality of spiritual life, the reality of God, the reality of Krishna. And as we start to chant, and this is our first point, the holy name will gradually reveal himself more and more. The holy name is the first form of the Lord in which the Lord comes to the conditioned souls and requests us, please accept me. And as we accept the holy name and chant the Lord in this most merciful form, who comes for us disguised, we think it's a name, it's a mantra only. At that time, the Lord will reveal himself more and more as we are able to realize him. There are three levels of the holy name, three levels which we studied yesterday in this beautiful Ganga evening. The first is called the Adibhautika level, the second the Adidevika, and the third the Adiatmika level. I think you remember the Adibhautika level is the level where we see the name materially, that is, as a name like Hermann or Sibylle, you know, a name. A combination of letters, quite different from the person. The second level is the level in which those who are interested in esoteria and yoga and so on can see it. It's the level of pure energy. This in this workshop, I will give you a taste of that. You will feel some electricity, some energy as you chant one mantra. I will not take the Maha mantra. I will take another mantra where, which will work in your pranas like you have never seen something. It's something to be experienced. And the third level is the Adhyatmika level, where you actually see the Lord as a personality. And the way this happens is described very beautifully by Srila Prabhupada. I'm just remembering, I read it yesterday. I don't know if I can find it for you. Let's hope that Krishna is merciful. Yes. When the holy name reveals himself. So in the beginning, you just see it's a name. And the later, you will feel it's an energy. It's a mantra. And then the purification, when the name really reveals himself, it means as soon as you chant the holy name of Krishna, immediately you will see the form of Krishna. You will realize the qualities of Krishna. You will immediately remember the pastimes of Krishna. That is pure chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Simply by chanting the name, you will feel the form of Krishna. Here is Krishna. Nama Rupa Guna. Here are the qualities. Oh, Krishna is so qualified. Prabhupada speaks so nicely. Krishna is so qualified. He is so kind. You will think, you will be overwhelmed by the kindness of Krishna. Like I think many of you have already felt that. He is so magnanimous. So many qualities you will remember. And then his pastimes. Oh, Krishna instructed Arjuna. Krishna played with his cowherd boys. Krishna had very nice talks with the gopis, with his mother Yashoda. No, I'm not stealing. but Krishna, why is your mouth full of butter if you're not stealing? Oh, the butter just came on my mouth because today somehow the butter is not my friend. Acha, you are very truthful. These things will be remembered. That is factual perfection of chanting. So these are gradual revelations which take place. But you know, if the king would have come to the beggar in his, you know, with his crown, with the jewel, and with his dress and everything, the beggar would have spat on him. He had to come in a disguise. If we come with our imperfect senses, to which we are still attached because we live in the world of the interests which these senses dictate to us, beginning with the mind, then how will it work? How will we understand something of that totally different pristine world? Rupa Goswami describes what covers us and which keeps us from the full revelation. He says,
Sinsyat Krishna nama charita disita bhyavidya pitto patap Uttarasanasya narochikanu Kintvadarattanudinam kalusaiva yoshta Svadvikramat.
Kramat means in steps or gradually.
Svadvikramat bhavatitat gatamulahantri.
He says, the holy name of Krishna, Krishna's character, Krishna's pastimes and his activities are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. But the tongue of one who is ill with the jaundice of avidya, or ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet. However, it is so wonderful. Simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue. And his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So, here Rupa Goswami speaks about a gradual process, not an instant or plötzliche enlightenment, but a gradual enlightenment, a step-by-step enlightenment by someone who regularly stays connected with chanting. It's almost like the gradual revelation of the sun in the morning. First we see a little sunlight and a lot of darkness, but then the sunlight increases in its volume and the darkness decreases until after some time we see the first rays of the sun as the sun looks over the horizon of our perspective. Huh? So in much the same way, the holy name works on this covering of the avidya, the darkness in our heart. We are surrounded by a darkness which surrounds our heart. And in the Sunday lecture, we will hear more how this disappears. Gradually, the sun of the holy name rises and this darkness of the heart, this avidya, goes. And we become more and more and more and more aware of the full glories of the holy name. Now, at the end of the class, I would like to tell what two favorable conditions which induce Krishna to reveal himself in the holy name. The first is you really need to connect. We have a wonderful devotee in Goloka Dhamma. I don't know if he's here, Shishtikata Prabhu, who once showed me how to use a bow. Let me see. I don't see him. He must do his work. So he shoots. So there's this long bow, and he said you have to look at the aim, and then somehow you will, everything in your body will just point in the right direction. And Krishna, I thought this is too esoteric for me, and I didn't do it in the beginning, and I just started to shoot the arrows, and they went I'm always saying this, maybe you've heard it. They went to Africa and were sent back by DLA or DLH or whatever it is, not to the AIM. But the moment I connected, they went, I mean, I didn't connect so well because after all I'm a beginner, but they at least in the beginning came near to where the AIM was, and then a few actually hit the goal. So in Krishna consciousness, we really have to also connect with our mind, with Krishna, and then our chanting will connect. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in the Harinam Chintamani that if we chant with no awareness of our relationship with Krishna, if we just chant the name Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and we are with our awareness or consciousness somewhere else, we will not actually get the real name who is Krishna, but only a shadow of Krishna that is an alphabetic representation of the name, not the ecstatic holy name, it won't be the name which we chant. I think many Hare Krishnas have not yet chanted Hare Krishna, you know, from what I observe. But they very soon will all chant Hare Krishna if they continue trying and learning this with the Sambandha, this point with the Sambandha, the connection which has to be made. If you only have the shadow of something, the shadow of money, for instance, you have nothing, really. You have, for practical purposes, you have nothing. You have an indication of something. So if you only have the shadow of the holy name, you don't really have the spiritual essence in your life, and your spiritual progress will not be very satisfactory for you. So to end this shadow chanting, where we just chant something, but our mind is somewhere else, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructs us in a process, in a meditation, which we can apply to our chanting with absolute benefit. You know, let me say like this. When I will do something. I will give you an example. Sebastian, what do you think about this point? This glass has got a new shoe case here. Sebastian, what do you think? That's one way. Now I will do it the other way. Sebastian! Immediately his head goes up. You know, Sebastian, what do you think about this point? You know, I'm connecting with him, you know. In the beginning, when I always do this in classes, in the beginning I was just, in my own world, I was thinking about my glasses and my thing, and I mentioned just his name. This is how you chant when you chant without connection. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And then I go into the garden and, you know, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And yes, and I still need to do this. And Ram Ram, Ram Ram. Ram, Ram, oh, I feel so good. Oh, yes. And then we will go on the summer camp. Oh, yes. Although my holidays are coming. Krishna, Krishna. Oh, this chanting is so nice. You know, you're in this, in your own little world. Oh, I'm so suffering. This is so bad here. And, you know, and never is there any sun in my life. Krishna, Krishna. You know, oh, this chanting is really bad. Oh, and then I will go to this new movie, Krishna Krishna Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram. It's actually very spiritual. Oh, this chanting is so good. You are not connecting with Krishna. You are connecting with your mind. It's not the real thing. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so bad. It's none of these. This is your mind which is so good or so bad. It's not right. This is not the holy name. The holy name means to chant the when you chant the holy name, it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is would be the shadow. Of course, there's something of the holy name in it. Three things. You sit down and you think, I'm an atomic particle. This is now very philosophical, I admit. I will translate it into German in a moment or into English, but let me first do the translation right. I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. Or let me translate it into something more. I'm actually part of Krishna. Krishna, I belong to you. We have some connection. And then the second meditation. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. Krishna, you are so wonderful. The first is about you. I'm a soul and an eternal servant. And the second is about Krishna. You are my eternal master, my only Lord. Yeah? And then the third, the material world is a house meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. You know, it's you are here for a certain purpose to reconnect with Krishna. That's why you are here. You're not here to die and to be born and to die. You're not here to live one life and which you forget in your next birth. Totally. You are here to, it has all a meaning. It's not meaningless. You are here to reconnect, to make the connection with Krishna, to become God conscious or Krishna conscious. And as you chant, you enter into this consciousness. Now, how to do it, we will do in the workshop. This is only, the points are made. How to do that is really something wonderful. So we had the coverings of the soul, and now we have number three, Sambandha and Seva induced the Lord to reveal himself. If you want to make the connection with Krishna, who wants to make the connection with Krishna? Oh, wonderful. This is an easy group. If you want to make the connection, there you need to know one thing. The Krishna is connected with all living entities through five rasas. One of five relationships, but the relationship through which those who are in this world can connect to him is Dasya, the servant relationship. We in this world, as long as we don't know our spiritual identity, who we really are, should approach him through on the road of Dasya. The servant relationship, because everyone, even the parents of Krishna or the gopis are really thinking, and the friends of Krishna, the sakas, are really always informed by a mentality. I want that. Do something for Krishna. I want to serve him. So this rasa, servitude, is present in all the other rasas which you can have to the Lord. But as you are here in this world, this is the way how you can turn to Krishna. This is explained by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami in Navadvipa. Your material senses will not be able to appreciate Krishna's holy name and his form and his qualities. But when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness by rendering service, then he can gradually understand who Krishna really is. And this service begins with the tongue through which you can chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of his food, the Mahaprasad. So if you chant in the service attitude, the holy name, and taste prasadam in the service attitude, you can really make connection with Krishna. This is the service, the most easy service which Krishna has given us. We just have to use the tongue. It's a little thing in between your teeth, you know. And you just chant, do this as service, move the tongue to chant Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and so on, and accept the prasadam of the Lord. This is all what the Lord wants of you, Ram Gopal, this type of service. Service made easy, isn't it? It's done by this little guy in me, in the mouth. I think it's so genius, you know. You move your tongue for the Lord. This is, you know, usually you say, ich bewege nicht mal einen kleinen Finger für dich. You know, I'm not even moving a small finger for you. This is, I don't know, in North Germany you say this when you really don't like someone. I'm not moving even my finger for you. And we are like this, rebellious, you know. But we can move our tongue. Let's start with our tongue. And once we serve with the tongue, our whole body will dance in service after some time. Because the Lord comes first in the name. And he dances on, and he ecstatically dances on the tongue. This person is no longer Bahiyamukha. He doesn't no longer turn away from me. He has become Sevanmukha. He turns to me in service. He uses his tongue. And then it's wonderful. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it's not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If you want to keep things as they are, that means you remain Bahiyamukha. No, you can't make benefit in this. But one should therefore be encouraged to develop a seva attitude towards the Lord, because this will help to chant without offenses. Become a servant. Chant in a service attitude. Like when we do these 24-hour kirtans, where we encourage or devotees do this now all over the world, there's a whole revolution going on in the Hare Krishna movement, which is extremely positive. It's devotees come together and sing for 12 hours. It's wonderful. It's most of them sing for 8 hours, and then that is almost like 8 hours of japa, which is like 64 rounds. So they sing for 8 hours or so, and then they report wonderful experiences. There are these melas, and we will make a kirtan mela like this in Germany. It's all about serving the holy names. And these devotees who know to chant nicely, like Madhava, they always encourage us, do this as a service to the holy name. Do this to serve Krishna. And when you do this with this mentality, I'm a reformed beggar. I sit now before Krishna, and I will serve him with my tongue. I will sing his holy name. You know, then the holy name reveals himself, like that king who came out of his palace, who dressed and who came in a form which the beggar could appreciate, and then brought him to the kingdom of the kingdom's palace. The same way the holy name comes to us in a form we can take him, in the form our sense, the tongue can chant him. And at the moment where we do this, Krishna gradually removes the coverings of the soul away. He reveals himself and so on. But this works only if you connect with Krishna in a mood of service. Huh? Like Prabhupada says, one should be encouraged to develop a seva attitude. And how to do this precisely, we will practice according to the instructions of the acharyas today in the workshop, in a wonderful meditation. But for now, I just want to make this point, which I think is just so wonderful, and that is that the Lord comes to us first in the form of the holy name, and then he gradually reveals himself more and more and brings us finally into the kingdom of God. He cures us of our rebellious nature, which we have adopted due to avidya, our ignorance, which is the darkness covering our heart. And so when that darkness is gone, we can go and meet the Lord in our heart. No problem. The Lord is there. He waits. Hare Krishna. Krishna. I don't know. I hope I did a good service to the holy name. My dear devotees, somehow, I can only say it works. It really works. Krishna. Dobro. So, good. So enthusiastic. You know, this is my main subject, really. I have to confess to you, I'm sometimes talking for 7 days about these things. But here is only for one lecture. Good. Do you have a quick question regarding this? Otherwise, yes. Wait a minute. Bal Govinda. Bal Govinda.
Thank you very much. Just a question. What does it mean to accept prasadam in service mood?
What does it mean to accept prasadam in the service mood? I learned that in Jagannath Puri. I also didn't know before I went to Jagannath Puri. It is described that the mercy of Krishna is given in three holy dhams in a very strong way. Navadvip, Vrindavan and Puri. In Navadvip, the mercy of Krishna is given to you through chanting Sankirtan in a group of devotees. We are now, devotees have invited us to come to Mayapur, and I say, I only come if the whole temple comes for Maha Sankirtan in the town of Navadvip, because that's how you get the mercy of Gauranga, in Navadvip. In Vrindavan, you get the mercy of Krishna in a different way. You have to roll in the dust. Yes, believe it or not, through the dust, which is touched by Krishna's lotus feet and still has the imprints of Krishna's lotus feet. You take the dust, you sprinkle it on your head, you eat a little of the dust. In our Gora Bhavan, we have one devotee who every morning goes and puts his head in the dust. You know, he always looks like and it looks beautiful. You know, we all laugh about this devotee, not laugh in a bad way, in a good way. You know, he gives great joy to our heart. And in Jagannath Puri, the mercy of Krishna comes through prasadam. That's how you get the mercy there. So you have to learn now to serve prasadam. And how you do this is, it's called prasada seva. And how to do it is, I tell you how to do it in Puri. Huh? First of all, the prasadam of the Lord must be served on a pure plate. Don't put him on an impure plate that is a banana leaf. Not a stainless steel, it's not so good. Banana leaf, you know. Then, you should never sit higher than prasadam, because you have to serve prasadam, and prasadam is your master. So you have to make a sitting arrangement where the prasadam is higher than you. Is, you need to sit on the floor. And then, you know. Then, after you have eaten prasadam, you're not allowed to brush your teeth and spit the rest, you know, clean your teeth and, you know. Now that would not be respectful. You can drink water, go like this, and drink it. Wonderful, isn't it? Mangala looks at me. This is how to serve prasadam in Puri. Amazing, isn't it? So, what this all means is that no offense towards the prasadam. You know, that is how you serve. Radha means Radharani, who serves Krishna. Aradhana, it comes from Aradhana. And Aparada is an offense. That's the opposite of Radha. Aparada, to turn away from the service mentality. That is what you mean. What is when you do an offense? You know, ich gebe dir nicht mal einen kleinen Finger. You know, I'm not giving you even my small finger. You know, I like North German language. It's very clear in its expression. ich rühre nicht mal einen kleinen Finger für dich. You know, you say like this. So this is aparada. This is an offense. You turn away from service. So you have to be not offensive towards the prasadam. That means respect it. We say we respect prasadam as something which is divine, which is you can approach prasadam in the adibhotika level. That means adibhotika. You just think it's. There are three levels in which you can see prasadam. One is, I want to say this because this is for not spiritual people, but they can understand, well, it took so long for this tomato to grow. I can't just, be throw it away or half use it. This is a modern understanding of food, you know. It's the adibhotika level. It's a material element which took so long to grow. But devotees go far further. They understand this was offered to Krishna and touched by Krishna's lips. It's now adamrit, means remnants from Krishna. And I have to respect it, not throw it away. You know, there is a... I think if you think this is Krishna's remnants, I should not throw it away. I should be respectful. This attitude will tell you how to serve prasadam. You know, you will know what to do and what not to do. It's common sense, really. But if you think it's just food, still you should not disrespect it. Because this adibhotic level, even then, some respect should be given. And cultured people do this for food. They are conscious about it. An apple, you know, it takes a year for an apple to grow. And then people just act sometimes. They eat it one bite and throw it away. It's really unconscious. You know, they are really unconscious, these people. So we as devotees should not be unconscious, and we should be Krishna conscious, really, and respect prasadam. Yeah. Serve prasadam. You start with saying a prayer always to prasadam, sharira vichajar, and you should learn the meaning of the prayer. Then you sit down. You become aware this is the remnant of the Lord He has given to me, and then you respectfully take it. You're peaceful. When you talk about things which are pleasant, you know, and you take it, and then, yeah, you should see that you take what you need. Don't take more than that. You don't have to throw things away. You have to be a little mindful of that. It's a wonderful question. As I'm answering the question, I become a little bit more mindful. I should serve prasadam better. I'm not sometimes so conscious also. Must be more conscious, you know. Good. Any other question? I'm asking for questions, but I'm soon ending it because some of you, or most of you, follow this Ekadasi, the Pandava Ekadasi. So, any other question is there? Or this will be the last question. No.